Bergen yelled and asked if I were all right. A hoarse squawk was all the answer I could muster, but his voice brought me to my senses. I crawled around to the front, then up on top of the bunker, before the enemy machine gunner could have another try at me. Redifer yelled, "They've got an automatic weapon in there." Snafu disagreed, and a spirited argument ensued. Redifer pointed out that there surely was an automatic weapon in there, and that I should know because it came close to blowing off my head. But Snafu was adamant. Like much of what I experienced in combat, this exchange was unreal. Here we were, 12 Marines with a bull by the tail in the form of a well-built concrete pillbox, containing an unknown number of Japanese with no friendly troops near us, and Snafu and Redifer, veterans, in a violent argument. Bergen shouted, "Knock it off!" And they shut up. Redifer and I lay prone on top of the bunker just above the door. We knew we had to get the Japanese while they were bottled up, or they would come out at us with knives and bayonets, a thought none of us relished. Redifer and I were close enough to the door to place grenades down the opening and move back before they exploded. But the Japanese invariably tossed them back at us before the explosion. I had an irrepressible urge to do just that. Brief as our face-to-face meeting had been, I had quickly developed a feeling of strong personal hate for that machine gunner who had nearly blasted my head off my shoulders. My terror subsided into a cold, homicidal rage and a vengeful desire to get even. Redifer and I gingerly peeped down over the door. The machine gunner wasn't visible, but we looked at three long Arasaka rifle barrels with bayonets fixed. Those bayonets seemed 10 feet long to me. Their owners were jabbering excitedly, apparently planning to rush out. Redifer acted quickly. He held his carbine by the barrel and used the butt to knock down the rifles. The Japanese jerked their weapons back into the bunker with much chattering. Behind us, Santos yelled that he had located a ventilator pipe without a cover. He began dropping grenades into it. Each one exploded in the pillbox beneath us with a muffled bam. When he had used all of his, Redifer and I handed him our grenades while we kept watch at the door. After Santos had dropped in several, we stood up and began to discuss with Bergen and the others the possibility that anyone could still be alive inside. We didn't know at the time that the inside was subdivided by concrete baffles for extra protection. We got our answer when two grenades were tossed out. Luckily for the men with Bergen, the grenades were thrown out the back. Santos and I shouted a warning and hit the deck on the sand on top of the pillbox, but Redifer merely raised his arm over his face. He took several fragments in the forearm, but wasn't wounded seriously. Bergen yelled, "Let's get the hell out of here and get a tank to help us knock this damn thing out." He ordered us to pull back to some craters about 40 yards from the pillbox. We sent a runner to the beach to bring up a flamethrower and an Amtrak armed with a 75-millimeter gun.